It would make a fascinating study to look closely at the way those who follow Jesus around in crowds often utterly fail to understand what he's saying or doing. Once again, Jesus finds himself performing a miracle in order to teach, and then being very disappointed when no bulbs go bright. Jesus uses this failure to instruct. When the recently fed crowd find him in Capernaum, they are puzzled and ask him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus, being Jesus, doesn't answer the question put to him, but rather he answers the question the crowd should have put to him, but didn't. The question they should have asked Jesus is, "Jesus, why are we following you around like a gang of lovesick stalkers?" Now, what does Jesus know about those in the crowd that they probably don't know about themselves? Looking at the answer he gives to the question about why the crowd follows him, we can say that Jesus understands human motivation with a great deal of clarity and depth. Not surprising, given who he is, but perhaps a little frustrating, given that he often doesn't connect with his students or the crowd with his sometimes oddball parables and cryptic sayings. We know that we must have ears to hear and eyes to see. Now, how does Jesus answer the question about why the crowds follow him around? Ignoring the question actually put to him, "When did you get here?" Jesus says, "You are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." In other words, you aren't here because you believe I am who I say I am, but because I've proven that I can fill your bellies. What's interesting here is that Jesus doesn't seem at all put off by this rather pedestrian motivation for stalking him around the sea. He moves blithely on to attempt again to teach the truth of why he multiplied the fishes and the loaves for them. He says, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." I can see most of the crowd nodding their head at this at first, and then sort of getting this look, something like, "Huh?" And it might have been the last little bit of that sentence that confuses them. "The food of eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Again, "Huh?" Now, to their credit, they overcome their initial confusion and manage to ask a sensible question. "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Now, we don't want to be too hard on our Lord so early in the morning, but can we really say that we know what to do with his answer? "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." Okay. Do they understand this answer? No. Tomorrow we'll read in the gospel and see them asking for a sign so that they might believe. Now here's a suggestion. How about, oh, I don't know, maybe Jesus could feed 5,000 grown men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I think that would be a good start. That they are still clamoring for a sign is a sure sign that they are willing not to believe in the face of one mighty work after another. So what's going on here? Jesus is teaching, but his students aren't getting it. The students are listening, but Jesus seems to be teaching them cryptic gibberish. And like most of us, probably most of the time, those in the crowd are looking for physical proof, scientific evidence, that Jesus is the Son of Man sent by the Father. They, like us, most of the time, want to understand before we believe. And most of Jesus' post-resurrection teachings fall on the tired and frightened ears of his disciples. But here, he is still with the crowds, and yet they cannot see, cannot hear. And like those in the synagogue of free men who hear Stephen witnessing to them, they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. And we are left again with the question, why not? Why not? Jesus is appealing to their hearts of flesh, that is, the law of desire for God gifted to us all at our creation. They are listening with their hearts of stone, that is, hearts trained in the law of Moses. What they must do, what we must do, is crack that stone and fling open the gates that guard the beauty of God revealed through us. Until they can do this, until we can do this, Jesus will always speak cryptic gibberish, utter nonsense. So to quote my dad, when there's work to be done, come on, boys, let's get crackin'.